वासुदेवाय
Read this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 7, Texts 38, 39, 40, and 41, because these four verses conclude the questions by Vidura. And I'd like to pay special attention to this first verse because it's really a masterpiece. The purport is concise and brilliant. So text 38 reads, "What are the truths regarding the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" So that's volumes, right? What are the truths regarding the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What are their identities? What are the specific values in the knowledge in the Vedas? And what are the necessities for the spiritual master and his disciples? This purport is so brilliant, I'm tempted to read it twice. There are statements that connect one to the, each one to the previous one, and the next one to the next one, and it's a summation of so much. He says at the end, this is the sum and substance of all the questions in this verse. So, the living entities are constitutionally servitors of the Lord, who can accept all kinds of service from everyone. Who is the Lord? Can accept all kinds of service from everyone. So, servitor served. It is clearly stated, Bhagavad Gita 5:29, that the Lord is the supreme enjoyer of the benefits of all sacrifices and penances, the proprietor of all that is manifested, and the friend of all living entities. That is his real identity. The servitor served, and he's the, 5:29. That is his real identity. Therefore, when the living entity accepts this supreme proprietorship of the Lord and acts in that attitude, he resumes his real identity. So there's a relationship, Lord's identity, living entity's identity, real identity. In order to elevate the living entity to this standard of knowledge, there is the necessity of spiritual association. The bona fide spiritual master desires that his disciples know the process of rendering transcendental service to the Lord, and the disciples also know that they have to learn about the eternal relationship between God and the living entity from a self-realized soul. The servitor served and the spiritual master as the association to awaken that real identity. Then, last, to disseminate transcendental knowledge, one must retire from mundane activities on the strength of enlightenment in knowledge in terms of the Vedic wisdom. It doesn't say that one stops activities or that one must take sannyas. It says that one must retire from mundane activities. On the strength of enlightenment and knowledge in terms of Vedic wisdom. That is the sum and substance of all the questions in this verse. So he's just given the answers, preempting Maitreya doing so in a very concise form. We'll go back to the question. What are the truths regarding the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What are their identities? What are the specific values in the knowledge in the Vedas? And what are the necessities for the spiritual master and his disciples? So rather than giving incredibly vast response to what are the values, specific values in the knowledge of the Vedas, he's taken the essence. The knowledge of the Vedas is to elevate one to one's real identity. Whatever those, so many things that are there in the Vedas. And that real identity is facilitated through the spiritual master who presents that knowledge to the disciple. What is their relationship with the Supreme, with God? And the living entity, that's the disciple, what their function is they need to know that I need this information, I need this understanding from qualified spiritual master. And further, that the spiritual master is one who is retired from material activities. And just has one activity, serving the Supreme Lord. Very comprehensive. I mean, the question is it's oceanic, and the answer that Prabhupada has given is very simple. And right on point. Relationship, identity, restoring that identity. One needs association for that. Krishna arranges for the association for that. The knowledge of the Vedas and the one who presents the knowledge of the Vedas, and that's the relationship between student and disciple. And a further qualification is the spiritual master must be retired from mundane activities. On the strength of enlightenment, in knowledge, in terms of the Vedic wisdom. That is the sum and substance. And in one sense, what Prabhupada is saying in the purport is, like, that's what he says all the time. But to take it from the verse, which could go in so many different directions, what are the truths regarding the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What are their identities? I mean, I can imagine people writing a book about this. And here it is, just one little purport. It's wonderful. Next verse, text 40. Spotless devotees of the Lord have mentioned the source of such knowledge. How could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees? So from the previous verse, and you know, such knowledge, it's referring to the previous verse. It's spotless devotees of the Lord have mentioned the source of such knowledge, the Vedic wisdom, and specifically the conclusion of the Vedas. How could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees? There are two points made in the purport. One is Prabhupada is, he starts the paragraph. There are many inexperienced persons who advocate self-realization without the help of a spiritual master. There were a couple of them, very popular fellows in India for some period of time. I forget their names. One of them was traveling all over the world and speaking and his teaching was, you don't need a teacher. Which one was that? Forget the name. Very famous fellow. Wrote many books explaining you don't need a teacher. Your life is your teacher and you don't need a teacher. So, it's, you know, as Prabhupada says, what they're trying to do is replace themselves. Yeah, well, they decry the necessity of the spiritual master and try themselves to take his place by propagating the theory that a spiritual master is not necessary. The Srimad Bhagavatam, however, does not approve this viewpoint. Even the great transcendental scholar Vyas had need of a spiritual master. Narada, Lord Chaitanya had a spiritual master. Krishna had a spiritual master. The acharyas and saints of all the world had spiritual masters. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna accepted Krishna as a spiritual master. Although there was no necessity of such a formal declaration, so in all cases there's no question about the necessity of accepting a spiritual master. The only stipulation is the spiritual master should be bona fide, i.e., the spiritual master must be in the proper chain of disciplic succession called the parampara system. So that's one paragraph. The necessity of a qualified spiritual master. So the next paragraph is further on what's a qualified spiritual master. So he takes from the verse the phrase anagha suri. Anagha means spotless and suri means great scholars. So if you have a scholar that's not spotless, it's not going to work. And those that are not spotless, they either are not pure devotees of the Lord, they have knowledge, or but not in devotion to the Supreme Lord. So they're showing that opulence of their capacity for knowledge without devotion. Or they want to become one with the Supreme. And those persons are not anagasuri. Pure devotees have prepared many books of knowledge on the basis of authorized scriptures. Rupa Goswami and his assistants under the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have all written various literatures for the guidance of prospective devotees, and anyone who is very serious about raising himself to the standard of a pure devotee must take advantage of those literatures. So back to the prior question, what's the God, the living entities, and their specific truths regarding them? What are their identities? Such spotless devotees are the ones that know the answer. And they know where the root of all that knowledge is from. They have the qualification. And without their association, it's once again, without their association, we're stuck. Text 40, my dear sage, I put all these questions before you with a view to knowing the pastimes of Hari, the personality of Godhead. You are the friend of all, so kindly describe them for all those who have lost their vision. Nashta Chakshusha. So, this is winding down the questions. Vidura is saying, you know, what's the essence, or what's the goal, what's behind all of these so many questions? It's understanding the personality of Godhead and his wonderful pastimes, because creation is one part of his pastime. So I want to understand the Lord, I have to understand in the context of what he does in this plane, and that will help enable me to understand what he does on the spiritual plane, meaning, or in the Vaikuntha realm, in Goloka Vrindavan. I want to understand these things, so I'm asking these questions to understand that. I put all these questions before you with a view to knowing the pastimes of Hari, the personality of Godhead. You are the friend of all, so kindly describe them for all who have lost their vision. Prabhupada writes, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 241 is the Vyavasayatmikavu's verse. Devotional service to the Lord is one, and the mind of the pure devotee is not diverted to the many branches of uncertainties. Vidura's purpose was to be situated in that service to the Lord, wherein one merges undivertedly. He claimed the friendship of Maitreya Muni, not because he was Maitreya's son, but because Maitreya was actually the friend of all who have lost their spiritual vision due to material influence. Suradaksarva Dehinam. From this canto, also from Kapila Dev's teachings on the qualities of a devotee. Suradaksarva Dehinam. So you're friendly towards me. You're my best friend. And the best friend gives the best thing. And what's the best thing? He gives his association, and with his association he gives Krishna, the knowledge of Krishna. O spotless one, final verse, your answers to all these questions will grant immunity from all material miseries. Such charity is greater than all Vedic charities, sacrifices, penances, etc. Purport, the highest perfectional work of charity is to give people, in general, immunity from the anxieties of material existence. This can be done only by performing activities in devotional service to the Lord. Such knowledge is incomparable. Cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedas, performance of sacrifice, and distribution of munificent charities altogether cannot form even a part of the immunity from the pangs of material existence that is gained from devotional service. The charity of Maitreya not only will help Vidura, but due to its universal nature, will deliver all others in all times. Thus Maitreya is immortal. There are many places where the questions that are being asked by Sutta or by the Shaunaka Rishi or by Maharaj Prakshit, they're appreciated as being so wonderful because they're beneficial for all people. And how can we even think of all people? Once a devotee asked Prabhupada, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, should we think that this chanting of the holy name is beneficial for all living entities? And Prabhupada's reply was, how can you even think of all living entities? Your capacity is so small. But you can think of Krishna. And by thinking of Krishna, you can know it's beneficial for all living entities. So, when we're participating sometimes it's a doubt, probably not for you all, but sometimes it's a doubt. Prabhupada comments, people criticize that the, you Hare Krishnas, you are escapism people. You're not dealing with the realities, you're not helping correct the wrongs, you're just escapists. You're not taking responsibility for working hard to set things right. To that he would say, you know, that the root cause of all suffering is ignorance. And the best service that one can do is to be properly situated in knowledge and to disseminate that knowledge. Patan patan. Become fixed in spiritual understanding. Same as Lord Chaitanya said, oh, all of you who have taken birth in India, make your lives perfect by this knowledge and give it to others all around the world. So the charity work of the Hare Krishna movement is on the topmost platform, and it's something that we should be taking up. Practicing Krishna consciousness carefully ourselves and extending the opportunity to others in various ways. That's Maitreya, and one who, although he was sitting in some secluded place, by giving this knowledge to Vidura, Vidura was then enabled to deliver Dhritarashtra and whatever else he did after that. Giving transcendental knowledge is not escapism. Cultivating and giving transcendental knowledge is not escapism. It's the best form of welfare work. And one has to receive it from the right sources, the spotless devotees. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita this famous phrase, true eloquence is truth concisely spoken. And what Prabhupada has done here is, and certainly that was my impression from reading these questions, like it's huge, it's huge. To cover the subject matter. So, one of the ways to cover the subject matter is ensure that the essence is presented, and the essence concisely presented covers it all. I forget the number. The Bhagavatam here is 18,000 verses. In the heavenly planets, there's a Srimad Bhagavatam that's some vast number greater, hundreds of thousands of verses. Same knowledge, just expanded. So, as like the Hare Krishna mantra, within the Hare Krishna mantra, everything is there. So all we need is the Hare Krishna mantra. But, to help us become guided in the right course of activity, Bhagavad Gita is there, Srimad Bhagavatam is there, and as Prabhupada is commenting, the writings of Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis, so many literatures are there to help guide us. So if we get some inspiration or realization from chanting Hare Krishna, we can check it. Or the other way around, the knowledge of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita can help direct our activities, so our activities are in line with the goal. Help us to get to the goal. But everything's there in the holy name. So in one sense, that's all that we need. There's a passage in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya says that dramatically, emphatically. There's no need for anything else. The holy name is Krishna, and as Krishna is independent, the holy name is independent, and Krishna can accomplish anything he wants. He doesn't need anything else. Similarly, the holy name is independent. But the process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, along with the chanting of the holy name, is hearing this wonderful message, and all of his teachings are derived from it, Srimad Bhagavatam. It doesn't give anything about, I was just contemplating, it doesn't give the age of Maitreya Muni, or the relative age of Maitreya Muni and Vidura. Certainly Vidura is very elderly. It appears that Maitreya is also very elderly. Elderly certainly compared to Uddhava, because Uddhava referred to him as his elder. But in spiritual life, the elder, younger, well, of course, mundane, the measure is how many years since your birth have passed. But the Vedic wisdom looks at the completeness or the fullness of spiritual realization. Just like Prahlad, who was by years very young compared to the demigods. But they were looking to him as their superior because of the depth of his Krishna consciousness. And Vidura is looking towards Maitreya in that way also. He is that qualified person that can carry him beyond material existence. And Vidura is very qualified too. Look at all the questions. Not the number, but the range and the depth of those questions. Okay. End with that. See if there's some discussion.
Maharaj, the last class you spoke about dissolution of the fourth thing. There are various kinds of dissolution.
Yes.
Like once one death, and at the end of every Kali Yuga, at the end of one Brahma's death, and at the end of Brahma's life, there is a dissolution. So, what is this purpose of the dissolution at the end of Brahma's life, Brahma's ends, Brahma's life, at the end of Brahma's life? Is it to create nice spiritual atmosphere for those who are sincere to practice these disciplines like Satyuga?
Well, that happens. It's not a dissolution at the end of every Kali Yuga. It's Kalki Avatar. That's not a dissolution. He just, like, you know, wipes the slate clean. The visual image that I have of what the cycle of the four yugas goes like is like a vortex, where it starts on the outside moving slowly, and then it moves more quickly, and it goes down, down, and moves very quickly, and down. So what, how do you go back up again? Or it's like if you have a bucket of white paint and you put in some red, a little eyedropper, put in a little red and a little blue, and you mix it. It's no longer white. It's off-white. And the nature of ignorance and passion is they have their reactions that add more blue and more red, and just keep you know, as it goes on, it gets darker and darker, and the white paint is no longer white anymore. So, the end of the Kali Yuga is to extract the Tamagun Rajagun, like you said, so that it's now Sat Yuga again. Because how do you go from the bottom of the vortex back up to the top? It's eliminating ignorance and passion, just completely eliminating it. And that's the function of Kalki Avatar. But so now at the end of the day of Brahma, it's now his night. The same thing is not accomplished by the devastation, partial devastation, because in the next morning, the beginning of Brahma's next day, when creation comes into being, the living entities, it's like they went to sleep and then they wake up. And when they wake up, just like we wake up in the morning, oh, I'm so-and-so, and these are my duties. And so their karma and the modes of nature with which they have been associating just kick in again. So it's not for the purpose of, you know, cleaning everything up and making a fresh start. They just resume where they left off, as we do at the end of the day. And take rest, and then in the morning we resume our activities from the previous day, where we left off. So the purpose to understand the purpose, might you can ask a bigger question: why are things cyclical? It's like it's easy to manage when things are cyclical. And time, by Vedic conception, is cyclical. Although it's an energy of the Supreme Lord. The whole, you know, like this creation, maintenance, annihilation, resting. Creation, maintenance, annihilation, resting. It's cyclical. So that's the framework in which the living entities can try to find their material enjoyment or get released from that pursuit of trying to find material enjoyment. So that's the framework. So, is there a purpose to that framework? You know, one purpose might be to show the living entities the endlessness of the pursuit of material happiness. There's no end to it. There's no point where, okay, now I've achieved and I'm there. It's time in the material world. Therefore, there's Brahma's nighttime and the end of Brahma's day. There's devastations. As there is, then, creation, maintenance, dissolution, resting. It's just part of the smaller cycles or bigger cycles. It's just the cycle of time. Time that creates illusion. Things come into being, stay for some time, and go out of being. It's just a function of time, energy of the Lord in relation to the material world. Desires come into being, thoughts come into being, bodies come into being. And, you know, everything has that flow. It's just part of that nature of illusion. Now you see it, now you don't. Anything else? Yes?
What is Prabhupada, you are telling about the association of spiritual master and disciple. That in scripture we have statements like Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi. But why that is not practically manifesting in our lives?
Why is not practically manifesting?
In my life, in our lives. We are getting
how can you say that? Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy, that's not manifesting in your life?
Gradually we are.
Realization may be one thing, but it's happening in your life. Am I missing something? You want to restate your question? Because I'm not sure what your question is. It seems like a self-evident answer to your question. Say it again, in some other different way, because I want to understand what it is that you're asking.
We are getting association of pure devotees, but still there are so many anarthas in the
world. Okay, we're not getting the Sarva Siddhi. That's your point? Okay. The potency is there. The potency is there in that one moment. We're not availing ourselves to that potency. Or only partially, only to a very small degree, availing ourselves to that potency. And it's sufficient just to chant the holy name once, offenselessly. But we don't chant offenselessly. The potency is there in the holy name, and to access it, it's chant offenselessly. And similarly with, you know, the association of a pure devotee, the potency is there for all these wonderful things that are being described. Or Sarva Siddhi Hoy, all perfections, the potency is there. But our attachments are so strong, it's gradual. You've probably heard me say this before. A reporter once asked Swamiji, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada's answer was less than a moment. And in that less than a moment, two things. Letting go of sense gratification and desisting from mental speculation. Then, because people are generally addicted to these two things, therefore the process is gradual. But less than a moment. Because we're attached. And we don't want to let go. That's what attached means. We don't want to let go. The cleansing, the potencies are present and prepared to act, and we're holding on. And Krishna doesn't force us to let go. He gives us lessons. He gives us experiences that says you best that you let go. But he doesn't force us. Does that address your question? Ah, okay. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.